Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Brown of Expansive Medicine. That was Forever Young by Alphaville, and that song has always touched me. And here's why. A lot of the lyrics, they talk about, do you really want to live forever? And when I talk to people, and we talk about longevity, and we talk about being young, and we talk about age, and so many people say to me, I don't want to live forever. And their reason is because they look at their parents or their grandparents and they go, my God, I don't want to suffer for the last 15, 20 years of my life. Or if I'm not suffering, just not living with vitality, not living high. And I understand that. But what we talk about in expansive medicine, that's your choice. Yes, it's your choice on how long you want to live, but it's also your choice on the vitality that you're going to have as you're aging, and if you want to age on a slower track or a faster track. And I've discussed this before, what we like to do, we like to talk about expansive medicine, is how we can get you on a slower track of aging with more vitality, more energy, more cognitive ability, just jump higher, run faster, the whole thing, be all you can be. Give a bit more, most to your family, because you're running on 110% all the time, and that's what true health is. concept of age is kind of strange. The concept of age has been laid on us by people who have vested interests in showing you how to live, vested financial interests in showing you how to live. What is fun? What is going to make you happy? What's going to make you laugh? What's going to make you have a lot of friends? And as I always say, have friends and be popular and laugh and basically feel good about yourself and get the girl or get the boy, whatever the case may be. And this vested interest, I mean, goes back until we were 5 years old or earlier, because your parents are teaching you what fun is by us watching them and learning from their habits. And then they're giving us those habits as well, and this is supposed to be teaching us how to live and how to live with vitality and happiness. I get back to the point of people with vested interests. I talk about television commercials. I talk about radio and all the advertising, and one feeds the other. You're not having fun unless you have a McDonald's hamburger in your hand or two-fisted Budweiser guy or girl. These are things that teach us what fun is and what a fun lifestyle is to a certain point. Getting back to age, because we've covered that before. The fast track or the slower track on aging is all based on what you do, what you feel is fun, how manipulated you've been, how miserable you think you will be if you don't listen to what basically these companies are telling you what's fun or showing you on the television between every show and even inside the shows. So bottom line is age is very different for everybody. When someone says, hey, how old are you? And you compare someone who has a healthy lifestyle who is, say, 40 years old and someone who has a very unhealthy lifestyle at 40 years old, you got two different ages going on there. You have two different sets of inflammation. You have two different sets of acidity. You have two different sets of disease, quiet disease, going on subtly every day of your life because you're feeding that disease. You're feeding those pathogens. You're feeding those microbes. You're feeding the disease. And we talked about stage one or stage two cancer, which goes undetected. And so does heart disease go undetected for so many years. All it does is it makes us slow down a little bit. But you cannot compare someone who has a healthy lifestyle or an expansive medicine healthy lifestyle, because don't forget, the healthy lifestyle that's portrayed on television, by commercials, by companies with vested interests, whether they're interlocked with McDonald's and the pharmaceutical companies and both enjoying each other's publicity because one feeds the other. Think about it. Any fast food. Any fast food, any fried food, that's going to feed the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry. Makes sense. I don't have to explain that. It makes a lot of sense. And vice versa. More dummied out you get when you're on meds, more you don't even think about, oh, I'm not going to eat this meal because it's not bad, because you're a mess to begin with. Because you're getting so acidic, and because you're getting so easily manipulated, because you don't have rejuvenation and repair of your neurons, and that's why people are losing their memory, and people are losing their ability, their cognitive abilities, and their multitasking, because we're getting manipulated by newspapers and by on the television and by radio, and any media that comes our way is all about not your health. It's all about lining the pockets of these companies that are working together to proliferate this amazing financial basis that we have in this country and many other countries around the world, and it's not about you. And I even talk about the Mediterranean diet, and everything is relative. We will let you feel that you're on a healthy diet when you are having that baked sweet potato with that farm-raised fish, because now they're saying, oh, farm-raised is not so bad for you. Because the ocean is so destroyed by all the pollution that farm-raised. I was just discussing this today with somebody at my gym who was a personal trainer, and she was talking to me about wild and farm-raised because they told her at one of the major supermarkets or health supermarkets, oh, our farm-raised is great. And I'm like, you know, the lesser of two evils. Because the oceans are so polluted, or because the water that's being raised on these genetically engineered products or farm-raised fish, I always would choose a wild fish. If I'm going to have fish, don't forget fish is acidic. So what we go back to is they're not going to do a purely raw or plant-based diet. You better be careful. And it should be the moderation, because they have already convinced you that the Mediterranean diet is a healthy diet. They've already convinced you that if on your plate you have steamed broccoli or sautéed broccoli or cooked broccoli and a potato or a baked potato or a sweet potato and chicken, white meat chicken, they've already convinced you that's a healthy meal, and that's not going to lead to arthritis and heart disease. And, by the way, because you're saying, oh, well, now you're eating white meat chicken, there's not so much cholesterol in your chicken. Well, we're finding out now, which we discussed in other shows, that it's about inflammation. And this whole scam about cholesterol has been a big joke, and many of the medical profession is starting to admit that or see that, and many are not. Many are still old school. And I did talk about even gastric problems. I talk about PPIs and acid blockers for ulcers and hiatal hernias and stomach reflux and over-acidity. Now we're finding out it's, again, inflammation. So the attacking of the inflammation is where we need to target things. You're not attacking the inflammation or the acidity when you're eating that beautiful Mediterranean diet, which is the best, supposedly, that we have now. Whereas why I bring in my expansive medicine diet, because that is a diet that's going to bring you to a much healthier place than anything out there. So that's the direction I want to take everybody. And this age concept, what we try to do is we try to, in every decade, our goal is to get you 2 decades, at least a decade and a half. So if you're in your 40s, you're looking in your 30s for a long time. We're not talking 10 years. That's so arbitrary. That's so absurd. Who put that in our head that you have to look at 50? Like you see a picture on the web, if you Google 50-year-old man, you're going to see a woman. You're going to see a picture, and that's what you're supposed to look like, and that's ridiculous. That's a picture of the usual and customary person in this country on a decent diet, on an average diet. And yes, if you're on a Mediterranean diet, you'll look a little bit better. But that's what you're, and that, again, is ridiculous. And it's all about acceptance. And if you can be made to accept that, then someone's going to be making a hell of a lot of money in chicken and in red meat and in fried foods and in fast foods and in non-organic foods. And the list goes on and on and on and on. There is a lot of money to be made if we could make you accept that at 40 you're going to look like this and have the vitality and energy of that of a 40-year-old. You will need coffee, yes. You will need stimulants, yes. And you may need drugs and medication, yes, to feel as good as you did in your 30s. But we got that for you. We have it. Don't worry about it. We got it. Just come over here. Just go to your doctor, and he'll write you a script for anything that you need. Because that is the tools that we're given professional school. We're only given these tools. We're only given tools to help your condition that you've acquired. Now, I'm not blame. I have to blame the media, and I have to blame the television set, and I have to blame the big business and big pharma and so on and so forth, but you have, and now we're trying to educate you, you can take control of your life. And my last was about it's getting tougher now. I do agree it is getting tougher. It's getting tougher because they took away the ozone layer from us. And we're not, if you want your vitamin D3 like you're supposed to be getting from the environment, you're gonna have melanoma or skin cancer along with it. That's why I recommend 15, 20 minutes a day maximum for your vitamin D and D3. And supplements are okay, but it's not as good as direct sunlight. The GMOs, they've taken over the food. Who they? Whoever is reaping rewards financially is taking it over. And it's not you and me. That's 90% of your foods, unless you're going totally organic and you're trusting that it is organic. The air we breathe, the pollution. Wait, let's hope that battery cars come quicker than we hope. And this denial, I love this denial of global warming, which is ruining the environment on so many levels. It's making it so unhealthy for you. I always forget to throw in EMFs, which is our cell phones and our wireless phones and our cordless this and our cordless that. We're getting hit with EMFs every day, which is destroying, causing tumors, causing brain tumors and tumors all over our body and a plethora of other things. So we have a lot of battles, and it's not today, and that's why we talk about expansive medicine. And actually, I'm going to have a women's conference, which the men are invited as well because they're going to learn a hell of a lot in February and March. We're going to have some conferences, general conferences for both genders. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to have conferences for certain professionals. And these conferences are going to explain to you the tools of expansive medicine to be able to fight the big battle. And the big battle is where we're at at this year. This is 2013. We got a lot of things that we have to overcome. And you're going to need other tools. You're going to need some super tools to fight it. It's just not like yesterday anymore. We've done so much destruction. We have done so much destruction, you can't be in denial of what's going on anymore. So you need all the tools, and that's what my program, my 12-step program is, to give you the tools to fight back even what they've created, what they've given us, what they've left us with. And they've left us with major problems and our children. But we have the tools. We have the weapons to fight back of food and certain types of herbs and certain types of formulas and certain types of protocols to do that's really way over the top of just diet and certain diets and certain foods to eat. So we do have them, and we're going to deliver them this year. It's a necessity. And why it's a necessity? Last time we talked about children, and we discussed that 2 out of every 3 kids are going to be obese. 2 out of every 3 kids are going to have diabetes. And 1 out of every 3 kids are going to have cancer. These are numbers that these are numbers that come out of, you know, the U.S. medical statistics. There's no running away from it. And these are new. This is new information, and it's because of these environmental changes, and it's because of the drugs that we're all taking, and our children are getting getting the brunt of it too. With autism, ADD. I mean, there's so many crazy stuff going on. I don't even. These poor kids, they're entering this world in a way that we've never had to do before. Certain fact sheets we can talk about, and one of my, let's talk about women. Let's talk about alcohol. National surveys show that 1 in 2 women of childbearing age use alcohol. 15% of women who drink alcohol in this age group binge drink. 7.6% of pregnant women used alcohol in this study. This is the CDC. This is Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. Excessive drinking may disrupt menstrual cycles and increase the risk of infertility, miscarriage, stillbirth, and premature delivery. Now, that can't be good. That can't be giving your body something good if it does all this damage. Whether you're pregnant or not, not a good sign. Women who binge drink are more likely to have unprotected sex and with multiple sex partners, These activities increase the risk of unintended pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. So there's a lot of downside to putting things in our body that are unhealthy. And I talk about fried foods as well as different things that are acidic, whether it be medications or again, I'm not. To do what you want to do with your nights out. Just read your fact sheet, so don't shoot the messenger. Here's the alcohol in pregnancies. Women who drink alcohol while pregnant increase their risk of having a baby with fetal alcohol syndrome disorders. Most severe form is fetal alcohol syndrome, which causes mental retardation and birth defects. This is completely preventable if a woman does not drink while pregnant or while she may become pregnant. That's an interesting line. Or while she may become pregnant. That's a really interesting concept. Because if you don't know you're going to become pregnant and you still want to have the baby and you were drinking, which we all do prior to, and this is not about binge drinking, this is about just drinking, you're increasing the possibility of having birth defects in your child or mental retardation. Very frightening. Very frightening. Women who drink while pregnant are most likely to have a baby die of sudden infant death syndrome. We all know about this. The risk of miscarriage is increased in women, so on and so forth. Other health concerns are liver disease, cirrhosis of the liver, impact on the brain, shrinkage and memory loss, impact on health, damage to the heart muscle, cancer. Alcohol consumption increases the risk of cancer in the mouth, throat, esophagus, liver, colon, and breast among women. Risk of breast cancer increase alcohol increase when you drink alcohol, of course. The reason I'm reading you this is not to put down drinking, but to actually expose you to expansive medicine. We're all going to do what we want to do that we feel will make us feel good about ourselves or make us happy. And I don't care if it's eating that cheeseburger, or if it's having a couple of drinks at dinner. What I am saying is, I'll give you an example. If I'm going to have a piece of fish, which is acidic, and viruses and yeast and bad bacteria, parasites proliferate, grow in an acidic medium and not an alkaline medium. So if I'm going to have that, I want to balance that acidity. I want to have a piece of fish with my meal. I'm going to balance out that acidity with 80% or more raw. That's my rule of thumb. 80% or more in portion, I will do raw food. I will do raw vegetables. I will do raw salads. I will do raw broccoli. And some people are saying you should blanch it with a very light steam to break the cell wall. There's a controversy there. I'd say mix it up. I mean, I'm a raw foodist, so I eat mostly raw. You can experiment a little bit and occasionally a blanch your broccoli, but don't oversteam it because you're going to kill the enzymes. And the enzymes are as important or more important than the vitamins and the minerals. So what I'm preaching here is if you're going to do things that are going to cause these problems that we're talking about, whether it be liver disease, whether it be heart disease, or whether it be increasing your cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis, autoimmune problems, if it's going to increase your propensity for arthritis, for gastric problems, for reflux, for colitis, if you're going to take that risk and do things that are not optimally healthy for you, offset with alkaline food and alkaline preparations. And what we do in expansive medicine, we teach you how to do that. No one's a saint, and no one's going to be able to walk around and say, I'm going to do it so strict, I'm going to do it this way. And it's actually fun to do it that way. And I have done where, to me, cheating is a piece of fish, but that does not mean it has, that's not your, that doesn't have to be your lifestyle. You can enjoy other things, but you need to know the tools. You have to have the tools and the protocols to be able to offset that, to cut down all these problems that we're seeing. And talking about tools, there was something I heard really interesting. Let's see if we can find that. It's interesting on television. They're talking about a drug, and at the end of a commercial for the drug, they say, ask the doctor if blank blank is right for you. Have you heard that on the commercials? After they give you all the adverse reactions and all the side effects, which no one discusses with you, the doctor never discusses that with you. But after they give you all those things, and you know your left arm's going to fall off, your toes are going to turn black, you're not going to be able to see. I mean, you're going to get blind. You're going to see blue. When they give you all these, at the end they go, ask your doctor if so and so is right for you. And I had to laugh. I was like, wow. Okay, well, that's perfect. That's just great. You're going to go and you're going to ask your doctor, hey, you know, I heard about this drug on television. Is this right for me? And what do you think? Well, when I went to school, this is what I learned. These are the tools that we have to treat you. And the reason we're given these such incredibly harsh tools that cause other problems, they're the Band-Aid over problem, temporary Band-Aid is going to fall off. When it falls off, we've got to give you a higher dose. That falls off, gave you a higher dose. We're not affecting the underlying problem at all. We're just hiding what the actual disease is and where it comes from. And because of the other problems within this particular chemical that you're taking, you're going to get other diseases. And I'll tell you about those in a moment. You're going to get other diseases. But these are the tools. These are the protocols we have. So what do we do? So you go to that doctor and you ask him this question, because they told you to ask him the question on television, and it looked like this could be helpful because you didn't pay any attention to the side effects or the adverse reactions. First of all, it was too confusing. You didn't go to medical school. You didn't go to dental school. You didn't go to osteopath school. You didn't go to school to learn what these adverse reactions and side effects really mean or what they really are, and the jargon that we use to explain it to you. It's not over your head. You're just not familiar with the vernacular, not familiar with the definitions of those words. So how are you supposed to really take it too seriously? So you go to your doctor and you go, hey, what should I do? This sounds great. And there's a few things that's going on here. The tools that he has at his disposal are not the tools that great minds have said, like, Hippocrates. He says, let food be thy medicine. Albert Einstein said something very similar. So did Thomas Edison. I mean, food can be your medicine. And if your lifestyle along with that and your knowledge along with that, you can stop serious problems and slow the aging process down. When I say that, I just mean that picture of that 50-year-old guy that you're going to Google and take a look at will not be you. It will not be that 50-year-old woman that you're Googling, take a look at, because you haven't been destroying your body with acidity and poisons for 10, 20, 30 years. Does that make sense? So if you're not destroying your body with chemicals and abusive behavior, food behavior, if you're not, you're going to look different. You're going to look better. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be quicker. You're going to be able to jump higher and run faster. And the better you get at that, and it's an ongoing process, and we teach you, the better you get at keeping yourself optimized, not allowing the toxicity to take over in your body, more years and the better you're going to look. And the better you're going to feel, which is just as important, and the better you're going to do at your workplace, because you're going to be smarter, your memory's going to be better, your cognitive ability's going to be better, and we find that your creativity is better, which is really interesting in a lot of other professions as well, in every profession. So we'll get back to the doctor. If he doesn't consider your lifestyle, your diet, your way of life, and feels that a Mediterranean diet, fish, steamed broccoli, and a sweet potato, we explain why that is not optimally good for you. It's good in comparison to a greasy hamburger. You don't even know what the meat's coming from. What do they call it, pink slime? Google that one. And whatever else, whatever, even a salad, put it, these salad bars, you have no idea what's on them. So in comparison, is that Mediterranean diet any better? Yes. So instead of looking like the 50-year-old picture, you'll look like a 48-year-old. Because that is both in this very acidic plate. One's more acidic than the other, but still an acidic plate. And we teach you how to maximize that, the other plate that you're thinking is your good meal of the week. So if your doctor has no concept of what we're talking about with nutrition, he can only rely on treating you. The only way he does it, he knows. And I'm not calling him a bad guy. He's doing the best he possibly can because it's your habits and you've been programmed and manipulated to think that this is how you're going to have fun, this is how you're going to enjoy your life. So he has tools that were given to him by the same people who are telling you how to have a good time. Those same people are teaching us how to put a Band-Aid over you getting too ill so you can't work, you can't eat, you can't continue doing what they need you to do, which is buy their food. So the pharmaceutical companies have a way to treat bad habits, and the bad habits can continue. You can keep having the bad habits. You can eating properly, living that lifestyle that's not proper. And then you go back to your doctor, and he can give you more milligrams, a bigger dose. Then you go back and eat again until you hit that point in your life where you go, damn, this guy's going to keep me alive like this for another 10, 15, 20 years? Holy crap. I feel like crap. I can't even get off my couch. I can't make love to my wife anymore. Can't run out to go to a movie without having to jump up and down and go to the bathroom because of my kidneys are half dead. I'm exhausted because my liver is half gone. And I have my ejection fraction, and my heart is about half what it was when I was 35. So I don't feel like even getting up. I'm falling asleep in my soup. This is what the reality of living past 60 or 65 is, and it's all because of that television set when you were 5 years old. It's all because of the programming that people with financial reasons has been programming our minds to think is a healthy and fun and get the girl or get the guy way of life. I mean, it's a self-perpetuating cycle that's making us more and more and more ill. Unfortunately, It's depleting Medicare and Social Security because the drugs they have out there is keeping us alive, even though we can hardly walk. So it's very difficult out there when you don't have the tools, and it's not your fault. It's not your solitary choice because you've been programmed since we were kids. We've all been programmed since we were kids. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. I wanted to just talk to you about a few things. I wanted to tell you a little story about heart disease. Most of us who consider ourselves on top of this field, or at least are on a mission to bring out what we think is the way to really sidestep all the pain of aging, and slow down the aging process, at least comparatively speaking. And isn't it all about that? It's all comparative. In 2000, I was on vacation. My father is a doctor, and he was never sick a day in his life. This guy was the healthiest person, and he amazed our family. And he was old school, but he lived a very in what we thought was a healthy lifestyle. His eating habits was decent. And most of you guys would think his eating habits were amazing. And he exercised. He always exercised. Since I was a kid, he always exercised. Even before people were exercising, he was exercising. And I was on vacation. He was covering for me in the office. And my mom calls me up. And she goes, "Craig, your dad has not been feeling sick. Not been feeling well. He's been feeling sick." And he took him to a couple of friends of mine who I went to school with, and they diagnosed him with pneumonia. And I thought my mother was like in shock. You know, he has pneumonia, and I was in shock because I just played basketball with him. He would kick my butt. I'm decent. Only like 2-3 weeks ago. So I couldn't believe it. I said, okay, all right, well, keep me abreast of what's going on. And I called, I spoke every night. And a week later, she calls him a little more frantic, and he can hardly breathe, can't walk up the steps. And they diagnosed him, and these are my friends. These are educated guys who went to an Ivy League university in New York, and they told me that he has double pneumonia. And they put him on antibiotics and so on and so forth. So I fly home, and I gave him an examination, and I walked out. I didn't know what to say. I didn't address him. I talked to my mom. I said, "Mom, Dad has congestive heart failure. I'm almost certain." And I ran him into Manhattan. That's where I lived at the time. I ran him into the city, and I ran him through one of the major hospitals. And some buddies of mine took him through the ER, and I connected him to one of the top cardiologists in New York, which is basically top cardiologists in this country, one of the top cardiologists in the country, and one of the top cardiac surgeons in the world, who these are guys I know. And they confirmed my diagnosis, and we ran around for about 8-10 hours, and they said to me that your dad's ejection fraction is 26. Ejection fraction you remember in high school, your heart has four chambers, and the big chamber is the left ventricle. The left ventricle has a very thick layer of muscle, and that muscle needs to be strong, and that muscle needs to be healthy because that gives you your stroke volume. That pumps out all the blood that's accumulated in the largest chamber of your heart, and that circulates it all around your body so you can get oxygen and nutrients and keep your tissues healthy. And I teach you later how to optimize that, and that also is a way that we work with to keep people young. So they told me 26. 26 is death. Normally you're 100%. That your ejection fraction is 100. As you age, it gets lower and lower. And we have found out why. And mainstream medicine is still about half in, half out on the concept. They're a little bit more into it in California, especially at Cedar Mount Sinai Hospital, which is the big one out there. They've been agreeing with us for about 7-8 years now. And other people say, it can't hurt. So we talk about that, and I talk about that. Even in the women's conference, I say bring your husbands, because I talk about heart disease a lot. I talk about the cholesterol. I talk about cardiomyopathy. I talk about congestive heart failure. I talk about a lot of things you can do to get your heart back in place. Now, supposedly, if you have ejection fraction of 26, you're not going anywhere. If you have ejection fraction of 50 or 60 or 70, you're not going anywhere. In mainstream medicine, you can only go downhill with that. And as that ejection fraction, the percentage of blood that's pumped out goes from 100 to 26%, you're getting older because you're not getting the nutrients. You're not getting those nutrients properly through every cell in your body, and they're not going as quickly or enough. So you're slowly dying, and it could take years, or they told me he has 3 months to live. said, your dad has 3 months to live. And I was shocked. I mean, my father was my best friend. And just an amazing, amazing person. And an amazing, generous, and giving doctor. And just very unusual man. And I said to my father, I said, okay, these are the two top guys that we have access to in the world. You can get you 3 months. You have a choice. You probably have a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks where you can watch television, but after that, your last 6 weeks is going to be tough. They put him on a slew of medications. And I said, you have a choice. You can stay here, sit here, and they will treat you for the 3 month period. You can come with me. And 7, 8 years later, my father is on the treadmill. He's making love to my mom. He's having a ball. But until when I was on tour, I was lecturing, I was doing my thing, but always checking in, and I always had him having his blood panels, which I always insist upon. A mainstream doctor, have your blood panels and have your work. And my whole thing, if you listen to my last 3 or 4 radio shows, I want them to be involved in your life. I want the mainstream doctor to say to you, wow, here's your gold star. I can't write your script. Everything's perfect. If you write your script, it's malpractice. So I try to get your numbers so you're a gold star student. And he can't do anything. He can't prescribe you any medications, any tricks. They're going to make you ill down the line. My dad changed his cardiologist, who was just doing blood panels for him. And my uncle actually had a quadruple bypass. He didn't listen. He was totally, totally mainstream. And he had a quadruple bypass and scared the hell out of my father, saying, hey, you know, your cholesterol is 210 or 2, I think it was 210, 213. And they said to him that, he said to him that, you know, you don't want a bypass like this. What happened with his bypass is he had to go open in the next morning, my uncle, because something must have happened, and I'm not going to even imagine. I do imagine what happened. They had to go in and crack him open the morning after. Old guy, pretty much decrepit from a quadruple bypass, 12 hours after they had to go back and reoperate him. My father is like, he knows, he's a doctor. He's been in the hospital before treating people. He doesn't like the atmosphere. He knows what goes on. So he was scared to hell, and his mainstream doctor, I told him never to ever go on a statin when you're on my program. Never go on a cholesterol-lowering drug. We can do it. It's so easy in other ways. And your cholesterol was low to begin with. At least try it. And on another way. Or if you're on a statin, I've discussed this before, we try to wean you off it very slowly with your mainstream doctor. We do it together. We use different protocols, and every 3 or 4 months, if we lower those milligrams a little tiny bit at a time, he's okay with it. The mainstream doctor's okay with it. If your numbers, these all important numbers, are getting better or the same as when he had you on the major amount of drugs. So we kind of trick the whole system into getting you off of those where they can't complain. We need your compliance, and we need you to change your lifestyle, to change what you were manipulated and programmed to think is fun. We need to change that. We need to show you what real fun is, because it really is fun. I mean, the more and more I get on my own program, and I go from being 100% down to 80% back to 100. I go 90% in between. I mean, it's all a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I'm having more fun in my life. I'm faster. I'm quicker in my martial arts than I've ever been in my life. I lift more weight than I ever did in my life. I've been lifting weights since I was a kid. I recommend it for UFC fighters. I recommend it for all martial artists, mixed martial artists. I recommend it for bodybuilders. I haven't lost in fact, I've gained more muscle mass than I've ever had before eating a Mediterranean, turkey, chicken, carbohydrates, high carbohydrates, even vegetable steamed. That's what my bodybuilding diet used to be, and it's got me so damn inflamed and so sick after a while That's a healthy diet. Bodybuilders eats what they call, in quotes, a so-called healthy diet. And I'm telling you that you will get arthritis from that diet. You will get sick from that diet. And believe it or not, you will still get high cholesterol on a low cholesterol diet. Because it's about inflammation now. And any smart doctor out there knows it's about inflammation, not so much cholesterol. So, with that in mind, let's go back and talk about my women's conference. This really hit me. This is really cool, and I've posted it on a few of my publications. But I'm going to quote the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama says, women will save the Western world. That's what he predicts. And a lot of interesting things, actually, has been happening in the world of women. And as you know, in the same job, a man makes 70% of what a man makes in the same job. Yes, it's not fair. Actually, it's nuts. But things are starting to change. Actually, now in the Senate, and I don't get political, but in the Senate now, there's 20 women. It's the highest amount of women ever that we've ever had in the Senate before. That's very interesting, especially when I quote the Dalai Lama, women will save the Western world. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Now, I'm talking about the nurturing. I'm talking about the generosity. I'm talking about the childbearing. I'm talking about they're usually healthier than we are. And there's a reason for, well, let's look at the longevity. Let's look at how long people live. I mean, the average longevity for men is definitely less than women. And there's reasons for it. I'm a big believer in this because there are physiological reasons why women can be at times healthier, mind and body, than men. Men, and many studies show men seem to be a little greedier. And there's reasons why they are. And I'll be writing about this as well in a few articles coming up. These are some other things. There's some obstacles to overcome. And this Dalai Lama prediction that women will save the Western world, I totally agree. I've been talking about it for a long time. There are obstacles that we need to help you overcome to save the world, and that's my mission. I want to help save the world, and I want to help women save the world, and that's what expansive medicine is really truly about, because if we save ourselves and we make ourselves healthier, mind and body and spirit, the world will be a better place to live. You won't have the greed, you won't have the fighting, you won't have the crazy things that go on for no reason whatsoever. And the more ill we get, the sicker we get, the more acidic we get, the more pissed off we get. And there's no progress when one is that angry inside and don't know why the hell they are. And it's all about inflammation. It's all about acidity. Okay, well, here's interesting studies. Okay, you're ready. 90% of the women are not happy with their bodies, study recently has shown. Okay, 90% of the men shouldn't be happy with their bodies either. But you don't hear them. You don't hear them talking about it. In fact, got to finish off that six pack. But women are open enough to when asked, we have found in a study that 90% of the women asked are not happy with their bodies. That's creating a very stressful, acidic environment for women. Stress increases your cortisol levels, increases your inflammation. That, in turn, whatever came first, the chicken or the egg, will cause acidity, which will cause an environment for bacteria, yeast, as in candida, as in systemic candida, parasites, and viruses to proliferate, to grow, to decrease your immune system. So, heart attacks on the rise in women, autoimmune diseases on the rise in women, memory loss in women and reasons why, same reasons, energy loss, memory loss, but there's reasons why women are more likely than men to be affected by it. And we, there's a big article recently about thyroid problems, that women are more likely than men to be affected by it. Rates of non-communicable or chronic disease continue to increase by 120% for women, chronic diseases. Women and heart disease. There's a, the Texas Heart Institute came out with a big study on the increase of heart disease in women. That's why when I talk about my women's conference and my to bring your husband, because we're going to be talking about heart disease, we're going to be talking about arthritis, we're going to be talking about autoimmune problems, and it's both genders. And we're going to also be talking about memory loss, and we're going to be talking about cognitive abilities. So if you want to be better in your workplace, you want to beat that 25-year-old guy out or girl out in the office, better come to the Expansive Medicine conferences. Because on the habits, that the way that we're going, as we're aging, we cannot compete. We just can't compete. You have memory loss. You have cognitive ability loss. You have multitasking losses. And incorporating illness that increase heart disease risk in women, such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and pregnancy, these are all give you risk for heart disease if you don't conduct yourself properly. Or rather, pregnancy complications, I should have said, I'm sorry. Cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer we all know about. Chronic respiratory problem is on the rise for men and women like no tomorrow. No tomorrow. So these things, we're projecting another 15% between 2010 and 2020 to women for cancer and the other diseases we mentioned, diabetes. Can you imagine another 15% rise in cancer within the next 7 years with women? Diabetes, obesity, systemic candida, arthritis, thyroid cancer, as I mentioned, incidence is rising. There was an article in New York Times on thyroid cancer in women. Dementia. Women bear the brunt of dementia. Deaths now rise to 25,000. Sugar-sweetened drinks increase heart disease and diabetes risk in women. Just came out February 14th, 2012. John Phillip. Breast and ovarian cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, we talked about cancer, they increased 15% globally. Crazy things happening. We need a change. We all need a change. We need our change for our men, our women, and our children. We cannot continue to be manipulated by Big Pharma. We cannot continue to be manipulated at a food industry. You can't be told what is a good diet or what's good for us just because the alternative that they show us and they offer is so damn bad. So comparatively, you're saying, oh, this is good. They're still racking it in on the pharmaceutical side, even if you eat the so-called good diet that you've been conditioned to think, oh, I'm sacrificing now because I'm having that Mediterranean diet meal that everybody in France is healthy because of. Nonsense. Bull. It's all comparison. It's all comparison, and they fool you with comparing the less of two or three or four evils. And what we do with Expansive Medicine is show you what really healthy is. And if you're going to do that binge, offset it so you still stay healthy and you still don't have these risks that I'm quoting you. So that's the concept. That's what I want you to walk away with. And I want you all to become superheroes. I want you to all become true superheroes. And I'm running out of time. What I want to talk to you about is the superhero concept. You know, you don't have to. You can make money without hurting others or hurting God's gifts that He gave us. It's which hurts others fairly directly. If you're going to destroy the planet, if you're going to destroy the food, if you're going to destroy the air, if you're going to destroy the water, if you're going to put water in petroleum-made plastic bottles and call it some beautiful spring name, that most of that water is not the spring water there, or from the spring, it's most likely from tap, in that water, you are directly hurting people. If you are financially, knowingly, you can talk. You can say, "Oh, I didn't know." You can say, "Oh, I'm dumb. I'm ignorant." And a lot of lies and horrible things are done, and because, "Oh, I didn't know." It's bullshit. Because if you look at the studies, and the studies on certain drugs, they're all so many studies are paid with outside interests. The interests are all about making money. And I always give an example. There was a story about a cholesterol-lowering drug that the inventor said that you have to take a certain kind of CoQ10 with it. Otherwise, it will lower your cholesterol, but it will destroy your heart. And getting back to my father's story before we run out of time, father had an amazing 7 or 8 years. And when he started taking a medication to lower his cholesterol, which was only 212, 215, killed him within a year. And on his deathbed, he said to me, "I know you told me never to take this, and I'm sorry, but for your research, so you know that your work worked. As soon as I started taking it, within 3 or 4 months, I felt completely different. I went backwards to how I felt in 2000. And within a year, he passed away. That's what's going on out there. And what I want you to do is take control of your life. And I want to give you the tools. I want to show you how. Come to my conferences, read my books. My books will be out the middle of next year. The conferences will be starting in a couple to a few months. And my retreats, I'll teach you. I'll walk you through it. And we'll walk hand in hand. I'll take you through each stage. I'm not going to shove everything down your mouth in one time, unless you're ready, unless you want it. It's, you know, it's all fun and baby steps, and you enjoy it. You feel better. You feel better almost immediately, and I teach you how. And a lot of the things that are waiting for you 10, 20 years down the line may not ever come, which you'll be thankful for. And you'll age slower. At least when I say the word age, it doesn't mean anything to me. You will just not be the same. You will be better than you would have been without expansive medicine. So I feel that if you can all become that superhero, and you take your message that I give you, and you live it, and you pass it on to whether it be your children or your husband or your wife or your friends, you show them how they can be smarter, quicker, just be happier, and do better in their not only financial life, but yes, in their financial life. And by using God's gifts and by using expansive medicine protocols that we've developed, because we had to, because the world is changing, and we had to come up with some protocols that fight back. You can't just get the crap beat out of you. That's what's going on. We're getting the crap beat out of us by nonsense, by lies. And as a martial artist, I like to fight back and with sound things that work, sound protocols. So, I mean, we need to all strive to be our masters, our own masters, and we need to pass it forward. And passing it forward generously is being a true superhero. So learn, pass it forward, and change the world.